Colossians chapter 3. If anybody needs a paper, hold your hand up. We'll get you a paper. Got a couple here need one. Anybody else need a paper? Colossians chapter 3, where we're at. And don't want to bore you with the scripture. All right. But we're going to get everything we can out of this. I have found that I've had to do an awful lot of repenting on being a husband. And I reckon it'll be seen whether or not it's true if I change. If I don't change, ain't going to be no repentance. It's just thoughts. All right, so I ain't going to say that it's true repentance yet. Cheryl Ann will have to tell you later on. All right, if it's, and ask her if the preacher's doing any better when it comes to husbands loving their wives, all right? And if she, and if she thinks it's better, then maybe my repentance is working, all right? All right, Colossians chapter 3 is where we're at. Colossians chapter 3, and we're trying our best just to give as God has given. I'm not rushing. I'm not rushing. Chapter 4 will be there in just a little while, okay? But we're going to get everything we can out of chapter 3. Now, ladies, you can sit back a lot tonight, all right? You ought to be able to enjoy. You ought to be able to enjoy yourself this evening, because it's going to be, directed in our face, guys. We're going to get down into the meat of it all right, and we're going to see what the Lord has for us. I have many concerns. We're going to share some of them. I have many concerns with our church. I have many concerns. Brother Steve is praying, and I'm not throwing this off on him just because it's what he prayed, but he was praying. Sometimes we pray and we don't believe. We pray and we're not necessarily seeing what we're praying. We're praying for things we ain't seeing. Well, I think we all can say that. I think that's all across the board. But I wonder if it ain't because our homes is not what it's supposed to be. Because the Bible speaks about our prayers being hindered. And we're going to look at that tonight. And I believe sometimes if our home is out of sorts, then it ain't going to matter what goes on in the church house. The home has got to be right. The home was before the church. And husbands and wives was before there's a preacher. Before there's a preacher, a congregation, there was two, Adam and Eve and God. All right. So, and you say, well, that's three. Actually, no, it was still just two. Adam and Eve was one and God was one. We okay? Everybody all right? Adam and Eve are one in spirit, right? And in God. And I believe maybe when our home gets lined out, we'll see more spark in the church when there's more spark down at the house. Let me say that again, because that was, I don't know if I'm on, ain't it, Garth? When there's more spark down at the house, there'll be more spark down at the church house. All right? Think about that, guys. And maybe the women won't have to be the one that says amen all the time when us men decide to go ahead and take part. Okay? I believe that'll help us. All righty? Let's pray together. Father, we come this evening. You're most wonderful in every way. It's not just some ways, but in every way. And you are completely faithful. You're completely holy, pure. You're completely right. And your righteousness is what you come to give us righteousness. We're more concerned about riches, and you're only concerned about our righteousness. And Lord, I pray tonight that our mind might be centered upon you, upon your word. Lord, I pray that we might be changed from your word, that we might take it to heart of what it truly means. And Lord, we might be what you say to be, not just the husbands, but the wives. It don't matter whether we be men or women. Lord, I pray that we are men and women of God. Lord, please help the children downstairs, the young people, because they have us as their leaders. And Lord, they need prayer because of who's leading them. And Lord, I ask you tonight to encourage them, and Lord, help them to listen to you. Lord, they need help, and Lord, we need help tonight. You're so good to us. I don't understand why, Lord, I have seen so many failures. Lord, even today studying, so many failures, I don't even know where to even start when it comes to repenting. And Lord, I ask you this evening, please cleanse me from everything that is hurtful against your word, against my wife. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me, and I'm going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at our main verse, and remember this. If you don't have it marked, you need to mark it in your Bible. Colossians 3, 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, I still believe that to be the key, that Christ is our life. If Christ is not our life, then we can't do nothing else. We can't do no. We cannot live the Christian life without Christ. We can't do that. We can't do nothing. He says plainly in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. And that's just the way it is. Now, when it comes to wives submitting to their own husbands, you can't do that without the Lord. When it comes to husbands loving the wife, we can't do that without the Lord. And none of it can be done without His Word. We need to know the Word of God to be able to fulfill what has been laid out. Now, we're in Bible study, all right? So we're going to study our Bible. So let's look here. Let's pick up in verse 17. Colossians 3:17, just for a little bit of background here. Verse 17 and 23 will go together, so we'll read them together. It says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Down in verse 23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Now, we want to remind you, wives, submitting yourselves to your own husband is as unto the Lord. All right, it says unto the Lord. Remember that. And it is a command of God, and it is pleasing to the Lord. It's not just to please your husband, it's to please the Lord. And then we're going to look here at verse 18. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit in the Lord." Then verse 19 is where we're at now. "Husbands, love your wives." Now, loving your wives, whatever we do, it's going to be in the name of the Lord Jesus and heartily unto the Lord. And I need to love my wife. I need to love my wife as I love the Lord. As I love the Lord. Now, when there's issues this way, it's because there was first issues this way. Now, I want all the men to understand that. Now, it's women too, but I'm talking to the men tonight. All right? If I'm having trouble loving this way, it's because I've got trouble loving this way. All right? And that's just the way it is. Wives, if you're having trouble submitting, then it's because there's trouble this way. All right? Just remember that. When things are right, if Cheryl Ann's right and I'm right, we'll never have a problem. And you say, "Well, we always going to have problems." Well, I don't agree with that. Give me Bible. Don't base the doctrine on what the Bible don't say. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If we're going to walk together, we got to be agreed. Well, we're not going to agree unless we're right this way. But if we're right this way, then we're going to walk together and be agreed. Now, that's Scripture. Yes. Right or not?
Yes.
All right. So what I need to concentrate on is us walking together like this, us two and her. Now, I am responsible for her spirituality. I'm responsible as a leader and a husband. I'm responsible for her growing spiritually. Husbands, you're responsible for your wife growing spiritually. If you're weak in that area, then you need to get stronger. That's just a fact, though. You need to get stronger. You need to be the leader that you're supposed to be. And if they're lagging behind, then don't rub their nose in. All right, and we're going to look at some things here. All right, now to get in depth of this, let's go back over. And I want you to hold your finger in two places here. Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to go there and hold your finger in that passage of Scripture. And then I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look. Now, we're going to dwell on the verse we read. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And there's a lot involved there. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. We read that in Colossians, correct? Now it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How do you love your wife? Even as Christ also loved the church. It don't say, husbands, love your wife because Christ loved the church. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. That even don't mean because. That even is how. Everybody listening to me? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. We love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. So when you read the scripture, husbands, when we read the scripture and we see everything that Christ done for the church, then that is our example of treating our wife in that respect. Is everybody listening to me? Whatever Christ does for the church, it says Christ loved the church, we love our wives. That is our example. Christ is our example. Now, husbands and wives, women, kids, boys, girls, men, women, no matter who we are, Christ is our example, the Bible says, and we ought to follow in his steps. Is that not true? That's for everybody. But how come we don't want to do that just when it comes to certain things? All right? We want to follow Christ's steps. Well, I've got to go to church. Well, and Christ is my life. Everything I do, he is my example. Okay? He is my example. Now, I'm glad I have godly examples that walk this earth. I do, but they fail. And although they be a godly example, they have mistakes and sin. So my perfect example is Christ. So he tells me to love my wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Let's look on in Ephesians, verse 26. Now, why should I be loving my wife like Christ loved the church? Well, the scripture says so. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. Are we okay still? That's what Christ does for the church. All right. Can I tell you that if I'm loving Cheryl Ann like I'm supposed to be, then I am supposed to be helping her sanctify herself in purity spiritually by the word of God. Not by my opinion on how she ought to be a wife, but by the word of God. Is everybody still okay? See, I want the men to understand something. The men are the leaders. Christ is the head of man, the head of woman. The men are the leaders of the church. The men are supposed to be the spiritual backbone of the church. The men are supposed to be the voice of the church. And they're supposed to take the leadership role in guiding the women spiritually, sanctifying the women spiritually. And gentlemen, we're failing. And I believe this is why our prayers are hindered. Because we're not where we're supposed to be, guys. We're not. All right? Let's go on. Verse 27, that he might present it. Now we're talking about Christ in the church. Okay? Verse 27, Ephesians 5, y'all with me? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle, not having spot or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I ought to be working with my wife, that she be holy, without spot, without blemish. It's not go do your own thing spiritually. That's not biblical. I'm supposed to be taking time with my wife. Does any of us men take time with our wife to help them grow spiritually? Do we stop long enough in our schedule to bring our wife up spiritually. It's our job. It's our job to know this book. It's our job as a husband, as a daddy, to know this Bible. It's our job to know the spiritual way God wants us to live and to bring our families up. That's the Bible way. We'll have hellish children if we can't even have a spiritual wife. And it's the man's job. The man's job. Not the preacher's job. It's the man's job. All right. Verse 28. So ought men. So ought. That so ought is like likewise. Everybody okay? That so ought. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We do things for our own bodies just to get in shape or exercise or whatever we do. We ought to love our wives like we love ourselves. That's what the Bible said. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. That's what the Bible says. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. See, every man loves himself. That's what the Bible says. Every man loves himself. There's no man that's not never done it. That's what the Bible says. Okay? But nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. All right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. All right? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. This is our comparison. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now I just want us men to understand, listen to me, there is so much responsibility on us as men in our home, and that's going to come right into the church house. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse for a man to be weak spiritually. There's no excuse for a man to be weak spiritually. And the reason we are is because we don't stand the book like the women do. Why, on a ratio of most churches, there's more women than there are men. There's more women teachers than there are men. There's more women volunteers than there are men. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Now, we looked at chapter 2 last week. Is everybody still okay with me? 1 Peter chapter 2 last week, we looked in chapter 2 and saw the suffering of Christ and leaving us an example that we ought to follow in his steps, right? And then chapter 3 starts out likewise. As Christ done them things in 21 through 25, or actually the whole chapter of chapter 2, then it says in chapter 3, start out likewise ye wives. And then now in verse 7 is where we're at now. In 1 Peter 3, 7, likewise ye husbands. All right, that means as they done it, then we do it. As Christ done it, the wives do it. As the wife done it, the husbands do it. Likewise. Likewise. Just like in Ephesians, it says, so ought. So ought, likewise. Everybody understand? Means the same thing. So ought, likewise. Everybody still with me? Guys, y'all with me? Amen. All right. Now, let's look what it says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to love my wife as brethren. Well, they are brethren. She's my sister wife. In fact, she was my sister before she was my wife. Everybody follow me? We were Christians going to church together, courted in the church house, got married in the church house, took our life to the house because we was raised in a godly home in a church house, and we were brothers and sisters and got married, and we become one, and it's one with Christ. That's what it's supposed to be. Is everybody still okay? Alright, now, if I'm going to dwell with her, if I'm going to dwell with my wife according to knowledge, then I'm going to have to be sensitive, I'm going to have to be understanding, I'm going to have to be considerate, I'm going to have to try and feel what she feels, huh? That my prayers be not hindered. We still okay. Alright, now what kind of loving we talking about? Well, let's see. Everybody okay? Talk to me, guys. All right, let's look now. Let's go to John chapter 13. Let's go to Gospel of John chapter 13. And let's just read a little bit here. John chapter 13. Let's look here at verse 4. How about we love with humility? Now, I've been repenting over my roughness. I'm rough. I'm rough lumber. I'm not finished grade. I'm rough lumber. My kindness, I'll give you anything. I'm charitable. I'll give you anything I got. I ain't got a selfish bone in my body. But my words can cut you in half. I mean, and it's not just sharp to my wife. I can be sharp to anybody. I can cut you and not meaning to. Not meaning to. I understand it, and I'm wrong. Because I'm not loving with humility. But I look here at John chapter 13, and let's look here at verses 4. And he rises from supper, speaking of Jesus, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I don't know of any scripture that shows humility any more than them two verses right there, that when the God of glory would gird himself and take a towel and wash the stinking feet of those that hated him and betrayed him and lied on him and run from him, and he had one stand for him, sold him for pieces of silver, found him cussing in afar and in a night. Couldn't even find nobody to stand for him in the judgment hall. He's washing her feet. All right, loving with humility. I need to love her regardless of her attitude toward me. Regardless of her, look at guys, regardless of your wife's attitude, then my love ought to be nothing but humility. If she offends me with her speech, I'm not right with God. Great peace have thee that love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. That works for the husband too. We okay? We okay? It's tough, guys, because the wives are to submit as unto the Lord, but the husbands are to love like the Lord. Wow. That's a little bit stiffer. Well, then guess what? It means what it says. It means what it says. We still okay? Are we still okay? Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, I just want y'all to know, I ain't preaching about y'all, I'm preaching about us. It ain't y'all, it's us. I be a guy, and I have a wife. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at something here. This is the last day family. This is last day family. I believe we're in the last days. Anybody agree with that? That means we have a last day family. Look what chapter 3 says. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? All right, we're going to start verse 2. Ready? Look at verse 2. Now, what is verse we teaching out of? What's Colossians 3:19 say? Anybody know? Tell me, Rick. Tell me. husband love your wives. But here in verse 2, it says in the last days, what they're going to do? They're going to love herself. Everybody understand it? Guys, we understand that? See, the scripture commands us to love our wives. But yet the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be problems because men are going to be loving themselves. And that's where we're at. For men shall be lovers of them, of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now that's the last day family. Is that not what it is? Are we right or not?
Yes.
And the reason the family gets like that is because the husbands are like that. And the very first thing, it's not a coincidence that the very first thing says that men are going to be lovers of themselves. Look at the homes today. Look at the homes today. You know, years ago, if we want to go back and see whether it was right or wrong, do y'all remember, some of you older ones will remember this. You know, in church used to be, women didn't say nothing. They weren't allowed to say nothing. They didn't say nothing. You know who done the amening, and they had men as the amen corner. You know who done the shouting? The women would, all right, but the men, you know that they even had two doors in the church? You ever seen the pictures of the two doors in the church? Because the men come in one door and the women come in another door. They didn't come in the same door. Sunday Road was like that. Mount Lookout was like that. In Mount Lookout Church years ago, I don't know if they had double doors, but they had men sit on one side, the young people sat in the middle, had three rows of pews, and then they had the women sit in another. You know why? Because there was a separation because of leadership, but the spirituality wasn't placed on the women. And it was brought into the church house. All right? We okay? There was reasons for that. And they now they've got one door because men don't come much. They're just things you need to think about. All right? Now, we'll get to that disobedient to parents, no submission but children later on. All right? But let's drop down. Verse 13. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse. Well, we're seeing that, are we not? All right? We have that problem. We have so much society and TV and talk shows that have corrupted the home and were so unscriptural that when somebody teaches the scripture, they look at the preacher like he's nuts. Because, well, that ain't what Dr. Phil said. And that ain't what Jerry Springer had on his program. And that ain't who on this talk show. That ain't how Steve Harvey conducts Family Feud. And that ain't how Bob Eubanks done the newlywed game and everything. So, okay? And when a preacher says it, well, that's outdated. The Bible is, if the Bible's outdated, then throw it all away. Throw the cross away and the blood away and empty tomb away. Throw the scripture out the door. If it ain't going to be good for all, then ain't none of it any good. But I'm here to tell you it's all good. And I believe the problem in the church is the men. And I believe that's why, listen to me, that's why women are allowed to cause problems in the church. 98% of any strife that's in the church is usually caused by a woman. And it's because men either ain't there or they don't do their job. They ain't got their household in order. Amen, preacher. That's just a fact of it. I've been pastoring 40 years. And I've not seen it change. All right? Now, I'm not mad at nobody. Y'all understand that? I'm sick at myself. Huh? Look at verse 6 in 2 Timothy 3. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. The reason that Eve sinned is because she was a follower. She was not a leader. The reason that Satan went to Eve is because she was not a leader. She was a follower. Are you listening to me? Satan didn't go to Adam because Adam was a leader. He was made a leader, created a leader. Huh? But Eve was created a follower. And Satan went to Eve because she was a follower. And she sinned and gave to her husband with her. And they switched roles. And she become a leader and Adam become a follower. Read your scripture. Genesis chapter 3. We still okay? Look here, verse 6, 2 Timothy 3:6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. How come they're led? Because they're followers. Because women are followers. They're not made to be leaders. You put a woman in a leadership position and it gets out of sorts. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. Now, how are we supposed to be loving? Let's go back to John 13. Everybody still okay with me? John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So my love is supposed to be evident to my wife. All right? Love's always an action word. Love's always a verb. Like this. All right, it's an action word. Now, men, listen to me. We're never going to know how to love until we've sacrificed ourselves, until we've crucified ourselves, until we've died to ourselves. Hey, guys, listen to me. We're never going to know how to love until we've sacrificed ourselves and crucified ourselves and died to ourselves. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talking about charity. This charity, we understand there is a difference in charity and love. We also understand that this charity is not just normal charity given to the poor, but it's a far reaches of charity that it borders with the agape love that God loves us with, that Christ loves us with. It's more than just saying something, but it's the giving of everything we have. Okay? Look what verse 5 says. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's our love. That's our charity. It's our giving. It ain't just loving. It's a giving of, it's an inside, outside giving like you don't, we can't even comprehend. It's that much. That's the way the Lord does. Now, we're loving like the Lord. Is everybody still with me? Talk to me. We're still with me. Now we're loving like the Lord. Now we're going to love like the Lord. If I'm going to love like Him, and now let's go back to 1 Peter. Let's get her text before we go to Psalm. We'll go to Psalms. And I want us to hang in there with me now. Guys, don't get mad at me because this is on me just as well as it is you. I ain't telling it you. It's us. All right? 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And it's been, do you know the reason that it's a weaker vessel? What am I compared to Christ? What's the church compared to Christ? Are we not the weaker vessel? See, we can't do nothing without the Lord. The church can't do nothing without the Lord. We have to be empowered by the Lord. Okay? And we need to take our wives as a weaker vessel and empower them. Boy, we don't want to hear that. If I empower the women, though, to for them to be able to do. Are we okay? Now, if I'm going to love like the Lord, the Bible says love my wife like Christ, love the church. Let's get on a little bit of this sensitive stuff. Can we? How about Psalms 139? Psalms 139. Let's look at some comparison now. Loving like the Lord. Guys, y'all okay? Psalms 139, look at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Do we know our wife? Do we know them? Guys, do we know them? We know what hurts them. We know what helps them. We know what makes them feel good. We know what they need. Do we know them? Do we really know them? Thou knowest my down settings and my uprisings. You say, wait a minute, you can't compare that. That's God and us. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Husbands, love your wife, says Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Huh? Thou knowest my down settings, my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Huh? Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Huh? For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Have I dropped down to 17? How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. What is our thoughts toward our wife? What is our thoughts toward our wife? What do we think when we don't speak? What do we think? What's the Lord thing? That's our comparison. Our example is the Lord. It ain't your daddy. It ain't my daddy. It ain't somebody other guy down the road. It ain't somebody in politics or a movie star. And Lord knows we ought not get none of our ideas from Hollywood or a ball team. I seen something the other day. I loved it. You know, I have never needed a movie star. I have never needed a pro ball player. Never needed them. I've never needed them. You know? I've never needed a football guy or a basketball guy or a baseball guy. I've never had a need for one in my life. I've never had a need for a movie star. Then why in the world would I want to listen to them? I have had need of a doctor. I ain't yet. I may need a lawyer, but I've not had to have a lawyer yet. Lord knows I don't want to compare myself to anybody in Hollywood. And women, we're not comparing you to Taylor Swift or Dolly Parton. Love like a butterfly, got nothing to do with the scripture. Everybody understand that? How precious also are thy thoughts. How about Psalm 103? Psalms 103. How about verse 14? For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Do we look at our wife in that way? Knowing that she's the weaker vessel and remembers that she's but dust when they're not perfect and they do mess up and they do wrong and they act wrong and they do things wrong and they do things that they have no business fooling with. But yet we're supposed to remember that they're but dust. Tough crowd tonight. Proverbs chapter 14. We're talking about loving like the Lord. We're talking about feeling like the Lord, sensitive to needs, understanding, consider. We okay? How about verse 29? Would anybody like to read it? Huh? He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts his folly. How many husbands we got slow to wrath? Any of us husbands got a temper? Any of us husbands talk sharp and hard because we get all of a sudden? The Bible says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. What the Bible said? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to run out of time, y'all glad. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just been reading the scripture, been wearing me out. So I thought I'd just share it with all y'all. See, here's one of the problems, guys. Now, I want all guys to look at me, man. At some time or another, we've all had a spat. Right? And you know why? Verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's why. That's why there are problems in the house with a husband and his wife, because we forget what we're warned. And we're not warring the flesh. Our warfare is spiritual. We're not supposed to be fighting. We're not supposed to be fussing. When Brother Rick tells us no fussing allowed, there ain't no fussing allowed. Because we're fighting the wrong battle. Okay? We still okay? Now, I got to give you this. I have to give you this. Do you ever, now I know we're all mental and we talk to ourselves, but no one fights themselves. No one hollers at themselves. Nobody gets in the mirror and tells me, you stupid idiot, you. Now, I mean, at times you may feel like it, you know. But I mean, we're all mental. But can I tell you, can I give you something real? We're just going to have to wait. They'll just have to wait, because I need to give you this. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I mentioned this a little while ago, but I'm going to give you some scripture. Okay. See, I believe this is what we forget. We forget that we're one with Christ. We forget that we're one. I am one with Christ. So is Cheryl. She's one with Christ. So therefore, we are one with Christ. Well, man, let's go a little further. You're one with Christ. You're one with Christ. You're one with Christ. You're one with Christ. And I'm one with Christ. Then there ought to be unity here too. And you're one with Christ. And you're one with Christ. And you're one with Christ. See, we're missing something. We're missing that life with Christ. We're missing it. Okay? So let's see what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One spirit.
How many spirits?
One.
How about Galatians 2:20? Galatians 2:20. Says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ in me. I'm still one. Are we still okay? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? How many bodies? How many spirits are they? How many bodies are they? Wait a minute. Are we still talking about husband and wife? Yes, we are. And we're also talking about church members, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. We're still in this thing together. Is everybody okay with this? We're still one. All right? Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 2. Genesis 2. Genesis 2, verse 24. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be. How about Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. Everybody still okay with me? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be. Matthew 19. We still okay, guys? No, I'm not. Matthew chapter 19. Let's look at verse 4 and 5. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And we ain't done. We're just done for tonight. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.